about what they should use, what kind of material to use. And this comes back to a value purchase. You know, if you're going to get wood, if you're going to get a treated wood, that's fine. However, you're going to have more maintenance on it, and it's not going to last as long as if you got something like a Trex Dex, which is engineered, which Chuck, you and I both believe.
That would be the walking surface, though.
The walking surface, right.
Structural components are still going to be a treated.
Well, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. The main frame of the deck is going to be a treated wood, but the walking surface itself, I mean, because that's what gets all the sun. That's what gets all the weather. If you do a treated wood, it's not going to last long. It's a value purchase. However, a lot of people like the cedar look, Chuck. They like it when it's first on the deck, but they might not like it a couple years later.
Yeah.
So all this maintenance stuff has to be considered when you're deciding what kind of deck you want to put on your, you may want concrete, but all the maintenance has to be considered. I would definitely put a different material on today than I would when I was younger, because when I was younger, I didn't mind doing the maintenance. Today,
well,
I don't want maintenance.
Let's be honest, they didn't have the quality of Trex type product out there when you were a kid, and you're still a young buck.
You're right.
They certainly didn't have it when I was a kid.
Right.
So your options were extremely limited. So it's going to be fun to talk about that. We'll write an article about it. We had a great visit with Lake Point Electric yesterday.
Yes, we did.
12 to 1. Also, I'm still excited about that. I just think it's a great company and one that we can really get behind.
Great warranties.
Oh,
I like their warranties.
Yeah.
Go an extra step above. And, you know, the.
And anybody that heard Dominic talk, he's kind of the guy in the field under Paul. He knows his stuff. He's confident, but he's not cocky. He knew his material, and you could see leadership in him. I mean, I'm sure he's directing other people in the field.
I agree.
Him, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So that was fun.
Yep,
that
I agree.
Was a treat for us.
Yeah, and that's what I'll tell you what, with our electricians, you got, you know, Lake Point on the east side. We got Bradshard, at Downriver, on the west side
company.
More. Great company. And they're here for you. They will literally come in and switch out just a light switch or an outlet in your house. You know, you got a fan that may be starting to click. It's over time it started to click or make noise. They'll come in and switch that out for you.
We had an email from a longtime listener who was extremely frustrated because no matter where she put her AM radio, she couldn't get the guys without static. And we said, look, we got a couple of great electricians. Let's take care of you.
You sure it just wasn't when you were talking?
Yeah, it's my voice, darling.
Yeah, just to say,
not the radio.
We're going to take your phone calls, 888-654-GUYS. We'll talk to Mike in Brighton when we get back from the break. In the meantime, Atlas Home Improvement has been a team partner for the Inside Outside Guys for years. Whether it's aging in place, helping people stay in their house. If you have an upstairs bedroom, they have chair lifts that will get you up and get you down so easily. So whether it's that, gutters, walk-in tubs, we want you to consider our good friends at Atlas Home Improvement.
Welcome back, everybody. Taking your calls for a few minutes before our guest calls in at 10:30.
Yep, Chuck, you know, over the years, one thing that has driven me crazy is some of the beautiful, whether they be wood, whether they be aluminum, steel, fences that people put up on their property. And over years, if people do not dig that post deep enough, I have seen cement 12 to 18 inches out of the ground because they didn't dig them deep enough.
Yeah.
The frost got underneath that concrete and literally pushed those fence posts out of the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, we have Mike on the line from Brighton who has a question about that very same thing. Good morning, Mike. You're on with the guys.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Wonderful day. So, absolutely, my question is, I'm going to put in a fence, a 4x4 fence with 1x4 treated slats between the fence posts, probably at least 50 of them, which means I will try to recapture my youth by digging 50 holes with a manual thing until I go buy a power auger or whatever. But what I'm wondering is, I've heard people say go 36 inches down or 42 or whatever, and I want to make sure I do it right. I don't want to have to go out and replace things, but if trees fall on the slats and break them, no big deal. I can replace those. But Would you recommend I do or do not use concrete on those posts for the fencing? I'm not sure I need it. It's just basically to prevent the dog from seeing cows and running through it and so forth. But I'm not sure I need to do that, but I would absolutely look at what you say as probably the best thing to do.
Get rid of the dog. I'm kidding. No. I'm kidding. No, I love my dog. I'm joking.
Take care of me. Yeah.
That sounds like something I'd say.
It does, but you're doing a lot of work to make sure that dog stays in the fence. We appreciate that. You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of variables that come into those fences. If you have a fence that's out in the open, it gets a lot of sun. Yeah, you might not need to dig down.
If you got sandy soil.
If you got a lot of shade, that's different. That's where the frost is going to go even deeper. So to be safe, it's not a lot more material or effort going 36 to 42. And honestly, I've never seen anything 42 heave up ever. Have you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you? That deep heave?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all frost. But you've seen it in roads and sidewalks and things where the frost gets driven down. Where it's not as likely as with a fence to be driven down. There's no traffic out there other than the dog running around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the cows on the other side.
If something has a 42-inch footing, I think it's pretty solid.
I'd be comfortable with 42. I'd make sure I had, you're going to use a wooden post?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, so with that post, one of the things I would do, it's non-load-bearing, other than the fence, so if you're not required to have a footing under it, I wouldn't bother. If it's heavy clay, I might put some 10A stone, 4 inches of 10A stone on the bottom of it, and then make sure when you put that post in, you almost tamp it 3 or 4 times. And then if it's me,
okay.
If I'm going to use concrete, I'd rather use it below the surface than at the surface, because that's where the post is going to rot if you have concrete at the surface. I generally will not use any concrete. Can you?
Well, I know you're a big fan of the biscuits, too. You put the biscuits in there and set them on the
biscuits. Except he's going to have to, 50
of them. Oh, I know.
Yeah, I don't think he needs it because it's non-load-bearing. If it was a deck or something else, I'd put a concrete biscuit down there. But
Mike, how is your soil? Is it a real clay, or do you have any sand in there?
It varies. There's up near our house, there's clay and gravel, obviously, like I think where they probably backfilled when they built the house. But the 200 feet out in the backyard where it goes from yard to tree line, it gets pretty clayish. There's actually a lot back there. So I'm wondering if maybe even every other post in the back or wherever it might be to use it. But you're absolutely right. It will be no load bearing. And if I ever have to dig up a post, the last thing I want to do is worry about, 80 pounds of concrete 4 feet or 3 feet down in the ground. But it'll never happen. I'm just trying to be as proactive as I can and do it properly the first time.
So 42 inches and maybe 2 or 3, 4 inches of pea pebble.
Underneath it. And then if you have clay, just tamp your backfill, so it holds those posts good and straight, and the ground itself will settle in around it,
Wonderful. Well, thanks, guys.
We appreciate it.
One last thing, Mike. Buy a really good quality treated post, if you can hear us.
Okay. Yep.
All
right. Got it.
Thanks, Mike. Real quick, let's talk to John in Ann Arbor. Good morning, John. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. You had an issue yesterday talking about removing tobacco smells and stuff from a house.
Yes, sir.
I had that problem, and I talked to the commercial guys on it, and I ended up renting an ozone machine from a local rental place and using ozone in the house, and it cleared almost all of it out. You have to be real careful. You don't want to be in the house when you run it, and you don't want to be in the house for 8 or 9 hours afterwards, because ozone really tears up your lungs.
You're right.
And then there was a little odor left in the house, and my daughter got some kind of spray you use to get rid of dog and smelled odors on fabric, and she did the. I don't have any rugs on my hardwood floors, but she did the soft furniture and stuff. And the people that used to just totally object when they came in couldn't even tell that it was smoked.
Love it. Great advice. Great advice. We appreciate your call.
I warn you about that ozone one. You got to be real careful on how you use it. I got in the house too soon. It tore up. My lungs were running fluid. I had to go to emergency. 4 days later, I was fine, but it was tough to breathe.
So we'll have to. Yeah, anyone that uses something like that definitely has to read the manufacturer's instructions.
Well, you do, and you can rent those a lot of times. Companies like ServPro will use them. They're extremely effective. But like you said, you got to be careful.
Thank you so much, John. We appreciate the call and the advice. That's great advice. You know, it's funny, Chuck, because there's something I use that emits ozone. And he's right. If you do it in enclosed space, boy, you know it. You can't. You got to have windows. You got to have stuff open. Hey, stick around in just a minute. We're going to be talking to Jeff Wiedner from Dex Unlimited. If you're thinking about getting a new deck this summer, you need to get on the list ASAP because everyone's going to be busy.
Boy, you really do. And by the same token, if you're going to get a new look on the outside of the house or the inside with paint, whether an accent wall or the entire surface that you own, you want to deal with a professional like MacFarland Painting. Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us, and hopefully we've got Jeff Wiedner, the owner of Dex Unlimited, with us on the other end of the line. Jeff, you there?
Yes. How's it going, guys?
Phenomenal. We are blessed. We are blessed.
Phenomenal. We had a great meeting this most recent Thursday. Really enjoyed getting to know you and your team over there. We are excited, Jeff. We are excited to let people know about Dex Unlimited, but we're going to give you the opportunity to do that first. So come on and tell people about Dex Unlimited, how it started and how they can get a hold of you and use your services.
Sure. Sure. Well, once again, I definitely appreciate it too. It was great meeting with you on Friday. We're extremely excited too. So yeah, just a little bit about us and about me. So I started this company in 2006, really with a focus to try to really help customers. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, my belief is that if you go out, you do good work, you take care of people, and, you make sure that you're going that extra mile, make sure that you're really kind of their advocate, that, the success and everything else will just kind of come along with it. And, we've been really blessed and really fortunate that, that's kind of been the thing. So, what we do is we're a Trex Platinum installer. What that means is that we've kind of scoured the earth a little bit to look for, all the decking alternatives that are out there. And what we've found is we've just found that Trex is, not only the kind of the best in the market, it stands up to, reviews and all that kind of good stuff and tends to be at the top end of that. But, they're constantly improving their product, making sure that not only is it improving for the customer, but it's also improving for the installer as well. And, we've just found a great relationship with Trex. So being that Platinum installer, what it really means is that not only do we know the ins and outs of the product, the proper ways to get it installed, to make sure that it's going to last, but also, Trex actually backs us up with either a 25 to 50 year warranty on their products and actually a 10 year labor warranty as well. So, and that's backed by Trex. So, I would like to think that we're going to be in business for as long as, at least I'm alive, hopefully, after that. And, you know, my kids carry it on and all this kind of good stuff. But if not, for some reason, then Trex is still going to back up that labor warranty for 10 years. So it's kind of the way that us little guys, let's just say, compete with, you know, really, really big outfits and, you know, let's say that some of the big box stores and stuff like that, and really be able to carry that warranty through. So, you know that's a great thing from them to give us and to give our customers. You know, on top of that, different things that we do, we that kind of set us apart. We offer, let's say, we like to call them our Dex Unlimited signature finishes. What that is, it's a combination of, you know, the way that we trim out the stairs, the way that we do our fascia and our finishes, the way that we do just, you know, lay the decking down, and all these different types of methods that we've found over time that really protects the actual deck itself. And even though they're going to have a 25-year warranty and a 10-year labor warranty or a 50-year warranty or whatever else, we like to think that the way that we install it particularly, the customer will never even need to use that, you know. So, yeah.
Jeff, we talked a little while ago about some of the alternatives people use for decks. And, you know, got treated wood, you got cedar, you got concrete. None of those gives you a 1-year warranty.
Sure.
The 25-year warranty you give, and then a 10-year labor warranty is a value purchase. So whatever someone thinks they're going to save by going with the lesser product, to have that 25-year backup is huge.
Correct. Well, that and Trex itself, you know, has a good, you know, few different lines of decking. They have a few different lines of railing. You know, you can go from the down and dirty kind of basic, you know, that's maybe just a step above a wood product, you know, that's going to get somebody into that type of a warrantied product and everything for a minimal cost above wood, you know, or you can get into, you know, the very premium of the premium, you know, and really take it to the next level. And that's again, you know, kind of reflects on what we do. So, you know, we also do the small, let's say 8x8, you know, front porch that somebody needs to redo their house to make their house look better and, you know, to make it last, to the, you know, extreme premier, you know, top end, custom, you know, decking. You know, we were actually the 2021 Trex number one. We had the number one award from Trex for our most decorative inlays. So, you know, the inlays that we do in the decks that we're actually creating the design into the deck, you know, on top of the deck itself and on top of the finishes that we offer. So we are capable of doing, you know, extremely high-end premier projects or just, you know, your regular everyday, let's say, you know, 16x12 or just, you know, that space that any homeowner needs to get outside to enjoy the summer and, you know, not have to worry about that maintenance all year.
Jeff, just about everybody we talk to talks about the surface, the Trex, the railings,
sure,
the beautiful artistic designs that a company like yours can do. But how about the substructure? How sure. Is Dex Unlimited different on the materials, the labor, the process that they use on what's actually holding everything up?
So, I mean, we use you know, for our footers and that type of thing, we use a combination of different things. We offer, you know, a few different ways to do it, but let's say our standard is, you know, we're using, let's say, like a newer composite type of footing in the ground. So we're not having to wait for, let's say, concrete to cure up, you know, those types of things. We're also, you know, the frame itself is typically pressure treated. There are other options out there, but due to cost and availability and, you know, these other types of things, you know, most homeowners or customers are going just with a pressure-treated frame. There's not to say, though, that, you know, we can't protect that further. So by using, you know, such products as like a joist tape, that's like a rubberized butyl tape that basically, you know, goes over the framing on top to, you know, resist any other type of weather or anything like that. It's a great product because once we put, let's say, our hidden fasteners in, you know, that butyl tape, actually, once you throw that screw in there, it's going to kind of seal itself and just make it to where, you know, that deck is even going to last even longer. You know what I mean? I would hate to see some type of a product or something that, let's say, outlasts its structure. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you want the bones of it, because you know we always kind of say the frame is, however, it's the cheapest, you know, let's say cost wise part of the product, or the deck itself. But you know, it's the most imperative. You know, if your frame isn't right, it's just like anything. You know, if you start a foundation crooked, if you, you know, don't dig things deep enough, like you were talking about earlier, you know, with fences. Well, I mean, it's the same with decks. You know, we go beyond that 42 just to ensure that, you know, you're not going to have that heaved deck or that sunken deck or anything like that. You know, so and codes lately, you know, in the last, let's say, 5 to 8 years have really become a lot more stringent on deck building and what's required and why, because, you know, you don't want to have anything fail. You know, deck areas are, you know, are meant to be for fun, for family, for memories, you know, all these kinds of things. And you would hate to have, you know, let's say a bad memory from somebody getting hurt because things weren't built properly.
Well, amen to that. And let's talk about deck safety, because I imagine all the decks that you have taken down, I bet you've seen some that were just literally hours away from falling apart. And Jeff, before you answer that, we hear the music. We're going to ask you, do you got a few minutes you can spend with us after the break again?
Yeah, no problem. Okay. Thank you.
Let's do that. We're going to go to break, and the website is ourdeckbuilder.com. Check it out during break, and then come back and finish the conversation with Jeff Wiedner from Decks Unlimited.
You know, another company that we just love, and we are so thrilled they've been with us for as many years as they have, taking great care of our listeners, is a company that can cure the house uglies. And, of course, you know them as Pro Home Improvement. Ken Calverly, Chuck Bridenstine, and Jeff Wiedner, owner of Decks Unlimited. Jeff, appreciate you sticking around. We got a bunch of questions for you.
Yeah, I want to put out the phone number real quick. People want to get a hold of Decks Unlimited. 734-707-5408. And again, the website is ourdeckbuilder.com. You can also find Jeff at theinsideoutsideguys.com. And Jeff, while I say that, let's say real quick your service area. What areas does Decks Unlimited go to?
So we typically, you know, we're based kind of in Flat Rock and then also in Canton. So so we do have the kind of the two locations, which allows us to kind of spread out a little bit. I would say typically, you know, if you wanted to kind of make a box, if you will, or whatever else, you know, if you go as far as, let's say, up to M59, over to about 23, maybe a little bit beyond 23, over to, let's just say, if you had Southfield going just straight up, somewhere around there, and then pretty much all the way down to the border. So, you know, we do get around a decent amount. We do a decent amount of work. We do have, you know, some great crews that we you know, we're always looking for great crews as well. So, but, you know, as far as that goes, so we do try to help who we can, but yeah, that's pretty much kind of our area. I would say, you know, typically we're around the 96 area. We don't get too far up to 59, but you know, if we need to stretch that area, we definitely will. So.
And for the listeners, real quick, Chuck, I'm sorry. For listeners, when we ask what area you live in, when you send us an email, that's one of the reasons. We don't want to send someone who's on the far east side your number when you're not going to go there. Go ahead, Chuck.
Sure.
Jeff, we're huge believers in pre-planning, good specifying, good design. Can you talk to those issues?
Sure. So, you know, when somebody calls us, we come out. Obviously, we, you know, we're going to walk the backyard or the front yard or what, you know, wherever the deck is going. And, you know, talk about design at that point of time, kind of see exactly what the customer's looking for, what their needs are. And then we kind of, you know, take it that next step further to, you know, usually sit down, kind of go over all our materials that we offer. We really like to educate the customer on all the products, the process, you know, really what kind of to expect. and you know, and try to answer any questions that they have. We kind of look at it like typically somebody's only going to buy one or two decks in their life, you know, unless they're moving, you know, a ton throughout life or whatever else. But so we want to just make sure that, you know, they're making the right decision with the right products. You know, it's in hopefully within their budget. We do have some financing options, stuff like that, to try to help out. But but yeah, but like I said, we just try to kind of match people with the right thing. So,
you know, Jeff, we say it all the time. Someone's deck could be literally falling off the back of their house, but they don't have the money in the bank to get a new one. You can help them with financing?
We can. And you know, we also look at it like, you know, we're trying to fulfill their needs. So there's people out there that, you know, hey, they want a big area. They have, you know, some, you know, they want to splurge a little bit. They really want to, you know, have a nice space outside. And then you have other people that like, you know, hey, they need to get something done. We have a door wall. It's 4 feet off the ground. Like, we'd like to put our grill out there, maybe, right, you know, a table and chairs, and we just need something. You know what I mean? So it's, so again, just trying to kind of go back to really fulfill the customer needs. We do offer the 0%, you know, financing, you know, if you qualify, all that kind of good stuff. But we do offer financing. We're trying to find some more financing options too. But, you know, as far as that goes, we do offer that to try to help out for sure.
Jeff, what are some of the trending colors and styles and design options you're seeing?
So as far as Trex goes, you know, like I said, they do have a few different lines to choose from as far as decking. I would say some of their more popular colors in the mid grade to, you know, that type of line, which is called the Enhanced Naturals, would be that, you know, that Rocky Harbor, which is kind of a gray, you know, mixed with kind of a natural kind of feel. That's probably their top seller in that line. You know, and then stepping up to like the Transcend line, you have, you know, a lot of nice, really rich, vibrant colors there. You know, again, like the Island Mist, which is a kind of more of a gray tone, or like that Spiced Rum, which is, you know, more of your traditional, let's say, brown color. You know, the railing is, as far as railing goes, they offer this Trex signature rail, which is like an all aluminum type of rail. We usually compare that with a composite post. It just gives it a really nice, like, you know, just really rich look. And being the aluminum rail, it's never going to rust. It's never going to really deteriorate. And it's super, super strong and solid. So that type of stuff.
Jeff, we could keep you on here for hours asking questions.
Sure.
We really do, but we don't have that much time. Want to make sure people know you also do gazebos, you do pergolas, you do some privacy fencing, outdoor kitchens, but the snotty is the high end, the lighting on the deck itself. How popular is that? Because I tell you, Chuck and I really love that look.
Sure. So lighting, it's great. You know, not only is it something that you can really, you know, give your deck some ambiance at night, but, you know, it's also a safety feature too for the steps to kind of illuminate those, you know, and that type of thing. We offer, you know, the full line of Trex lighting. I will say too, though, just, you know, having us on, and, you know, like I said, we really appreciate this opportunity as well. And all your listeners, you know, we are putting something out there today that, you know, by the end of the show, if whoever calls in to that number, which they can also call 866-DEX-UNLIMITED, just in case you forget the, you know, the 734 number. So, you know, but we're actually going to give everybody just a complimentary riser lights, which those are Trex riser lights. They're a 7-year warranty. And, you know, we install everything that comes with a great, you know, timer and transformer type of thing. And you know, we can explain that more in an appointment, but we do have, you know, our staff kind of standing by if people did want to sign up by the end of the, or not sign up, but, you know, get an appointment and that type of thing by the end of the show. Exactly. And, you know, and we'll throw that in for them and, you know, just as a thanks for having us on today for sure. So.
Well, Jeff, most of our welcome interviews are one segment. You had so much information, we had to keep you on for two. We greatly appreciate you coming on. Anyone that was listening knows if they're thinking about a new deck, they want to go to rdeckbuilder.com, 734-707-5408. We'll get you Decks Unlimited, and you can also go to the InsideOutsideGuys.com. Mr. Jeff Wiedner, we look forward to a great relationship.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, thank you, guys. Take care. Happy Sunday.
We appreciate you.
You too, my friend. Take care.
You know, another company, Ken, you and I really appreciate, especially with the bitter cold evenings we've had on those beautiful, moonlit, clear skies, is a heating and air conditioning company.
You're right.
Who have I got to be talking about?
Oh, geez. Could it be CNC Heating and Air Conditioning?
Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. Phone lines are going to be open for the next hour for you, our listener, because without you, we got nothing. 888-654-4897. A big thanks to Jeff Wiedner. Looking forward to all he can do for our listeners.
I got to tell you, Chuck, I've been on the break looking at the website. I did it before, but their website is done very, very well.
It is.
And he forgot to mention, well, he didn't have time. They're also... They also are including Trex has a furniture line, a patio furniture line now as well, which Dex Unlimited is getting into with the warranties and everything else.
It's so funny because I'm an old guy, right?
Chuck, Mr. Obvious, go ahead.
And I love, we put Trex decking down. We actually took up really good quality treated wood and put Trex down up north. Gosh, how many years ago?
Up north?
Up north. 10, 12?
More. Yeah.
Years ago, I don't even remember how long ago, and I love the product. I recommend it highly.
Well, I tell you, what you have there is you have very little air underneath that deck, if any.
Exactly.
It gets very little sun, except for the morning sun, right?
It gets, like the morning sun as the sun comes up over the lake, and then it's all shade.
It's all shade, and it's performing still.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, a light power wash. Once every year, we do in the fall.
Yeah.
And it looks fantastic. And that's the old style product. Just got the new, the blind nailing, blind fasteners. We used a galvanized brad on that, and it's held perfectly well. It's just exciting to me, and I encourage anybody. 866-DEX-UNLIMITED. That's an easy number to remember. 866-DEX-UNLIMITED.
They got to get a good jingle for that. We have to help them out.
Yeah, we got to encourage Jeff. Yeah.
And our phone number is 888-654-4897.
Yeah.
So we got an email. We're trying not to get political, Chuck, okay? So you might have to put a dog collar and zap me every time I get political.
You're
here,
too
okay?
big for me to mess with. I'm going to have to let you go if you get stupid.
You got an email, and it was a very good email, and it says, how do I find a good dishwasher? That's just bottom line. We've had... multiple dishwashers, and they just cannot find a dishwasher.
Have another child.
And I did a little research, and I got to tell you, how do I say this nicely? Dishwashers are terrible. They're a terrible appliance. If you look at all the appliances in the house, what appliance do people hate the most? It's the dishwasher. And here's why. Because, let's go back to, remember when the toilet thing, when was it, mid-80s, when they... started
so bad at that. I lived through it. I remember it well, but I can't pin the dates down. But
a couple of government regulation things. They got that toilet that made all toilets use less water, which made them a worse product.
Instantly.
How about the gas cans, where they also mandated that you had to have the special nozzle with gas cans to pour the gas in.
Now we talked about that even in the vehicles. You got to have a special. Oh, I don't even want to go there.
Okay. So,
okay.
Here's what they do to okay?
Dishwasher.
The toilet you really can't do much about, but the gas cans. People take that cap off and they pour it straight into the I do. I don't mess with that cap. I pull it off, I get a funnel, or I pour it right in, which I guarantee you more gas gets spilled now than ever did before.
Oh, I agree with you.
And then let's talk about the dishwasher. You go back to when we were young, Chuck. Dishwashers, and I'm talking 70s, 80s, dishwashers had one cycle. They lasted about an hour, and they got all the dishes cleaned. you go now, and here's why I say it's hard to find a good dishwasher, because they're all mandated by the government that they can only use a certain amount of water, Now they run two-hour cycles. Some run four-hour cycles, and they still don't get your dishes clean. So here's what happens.
You have to pre-wash them.
Exactly.
I do.
So same thing as the gas can where now you're spilling gas. They did that to use less water. So what are people doing now? They're washing it by hand. My wife and I have one. Yeah. She hates the way it washes. She keeps asking me for a new one. That's my response. Why? And we wash all our dishes by hand, which I guarantee you waste more water, even though it's impossible to waste water.
Oh, I appreciate that you actually admit that you waste water. I don't disagree with you. You know what's funny, though? Because I see these ads. Use this soap in your dishwasher, and even day-old crud will come off. And I have yet to find the soap that will actually do that. So I've always pre-rinsed. I've been doing it for, 40 years before I load the dishwasher. And we've got a new one, and I like the results. It's a 3.5-hour cycle. It's extremely quiet.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And I don't disagree with anything you said except – the dishes are satisfactorily clean when they're done, except that
you got to pre-wash.
I always pre-soak and pre-wash. I always have those. So for me, it's
but this is what happens when you know the consequence, the unintentional consequences. I mean, I wash them all by hand. The whole reason they mandated that was for we would use less water, and we are using more water because of it.
Well,
I don't want to mess with stoves, Chuck.
Use 20 gallons to pre-wash, and I go, no, I never have, and I never will.
Right.
That's a lot of water.
Right. You're right.
You hear that all the time, and it's like there probably are people that do. My mom's generation was taught you could turn that faucet on full blast and never think twice about it. So she might if she was doing them.
Chuck, we bought this Bosch dishwasher when we moved in. And, you know, that's the top of the line, right?
Yeah.
It's not their fault, though. If they're mandated to do it this way by the government, it's not their fault. So someone said, what's the best dishwasher out there? Your hands.
Your that's hands, why I said I have more kids.
Soap. Yeah, right. And, you know, you mentioned the soap. When you do laundry, because I know you're like me, you do the laundry at your house.
I do.
There's a line when you fill it up in the washer that says fill to here. Fill to here. Do you ever come close to that line when you put the – me neither.
Never. Not only that, but I learned years ago, put the water and the soap in, take it up to whatever level you want it to be, let your clothes set before you close that lid in that soapy water.
That's a top load dishwasher, a top load washer.
I'm a big believer in top loads, as you know.
I know you are. Me, I kind of have two now, but I can't do that with a front load.
You buy all the snotty stuff, you know.
No, I don't buy anything snotty. My wife tells me to buy snotty stuff, and I, you know, happy wife. But here are the unintended consequences. And when I do, I put so little soap because people think about this. When you take a shower and you use that towel, most people take that towel, they use it, and they throw it right into the basket. And you don't need a lot of soap to wash something that just dried your clean body. And even
wiped off the shower stall.
Even your sweatshirt, Chuck. I mean, you're going to take that off. It's not going to be that dirty.
Well, the sleeves where you wipe your nose this time of year.
You're disgusting. Hey, if you're thinking about getting a building project done, commercial, residential, you want to make sure you have an absolutely beautiful product. So here's what I want you to do. When you call your contractor, tell them you want them to check out the Diamond Coat products. But if you're thinking solar, you're thinking EV charging, we want you to talk to our good friends at NECA IBEW.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to remind you the phone lines are open. 888-654-GUYS, which would be 4897. We'd love to hear from you.
You heard Jeff Wiedner earlier from Dex Unlimited. And what we want people to do on this absolutely beautiful day is something just real simple today. If you have a deck, and you can, we want you to go out with a deck and either an ice pick maybe or a flathead screwdriver, and just check the connections. Check where the deck meets the house. Check where the railings are, gently move them around, and make sure that deck is safe for the upcoming deck season. Is that fair to say?
Gently move them around. If they won't withstand at least your body leaning against them without moving a bunch.
Yeah, that's true.
That's an issue.
Yeah, oh, it's definitely an issue. But like we said, you want to make sure now's the time to make sure it's going to be safe.
And I agree with that.
If you've got a deck that's more than, what, 5 or 6 feet high, you know, someone falls from that distance, terrible things can happen.
Terrible things. You'd be surprised even the code requirement for railings is 30 inches off the adjacent ground. And really, think of blindly stepping 30 inches vertically. You hit the ground, you could easily snap a leg, an ankle.
Oh, hit your head.
That's 2.5 feet. You know, that's far enough.
How many times have you gone to step and there wasn't a step there, and how much it jars your back? That just absolutely drives me crazy. Phone lines are open. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. I want to remind everybody the guys are going to be at the Backyard Pool and Spa Show next Saturday at the Suburban Collection Showplace. We'd love to see you guys there. We're going to be talking to a lot of people about the upcoming pool and spa season.
I know, and that's always exciting. I don't care if you're buying or not. That's exciting. It'll be fun. Suburban Collection Showplace, which everybody's familiar with that listens to our show because of the Novi, home expos that are done there 3 times a year. Let me ask you something. In the most commonly used bathroom in your house, you have a towel to dry hands with, right?
Sure.
How often do you change that out?
Change the towel?
The towel.
Here's our habit. My wife takes a shower.
Oh, and that is the most commonly used bathroom.
We don't really have a towel that hangs there all the time. You know, we have
really?
Above our tub, we have 3 shelves that are always loaded with towels. So I do a lot of towels.
But you don't have a hand towel by the sink.
No, I just grab one and use that.
Interesting.
When my
and
wife
then put it back.
Yeah. No. So here's what happened. My wife takes a shower. I'll use her towel on the floor. I put it on the floor right outside the shower. Then my towel hang over a hook, and we'll use that the rest of the day.
Gotcha.
Is normally how we use it. So we probably wash our towels too much, to be honest with you, because they're always clean. But
I'm with you on that. People don't. Studies show that hand towels are left in place a week or more.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't tell you how often I go in somebody's house and that hand towel is already wet, which is...
Yeah,
I'm not really overly type A, but that's one of those things I hate.
Chuck, I will not, when I go in, remember the old days where you had that towel, if you went to a public bathroom, that would roll, you'd pull it down. Place up by your cottage.
You have them hospitalized that way throughout the entire facility
Desi's.
Where you roll paper out.
Desi's. I've never been to Desi's in the Oscoda area.
Oh, I do recall.
They have
on River Road.
They have a troughed urinal. And they still have the towel that rolls.
They have the cloth towel.
The cloth towel that rolls. So, so they got to change that out quite often. But I'm with you, buddy.
That is new constantly, the cloth towel.
Well, they probably wash them somehow. Who knows? But you're right.
Clean.
I don't know how that works. Does it go round and round if
no.
they don't clean it?
No, it doesn't recycle. It actually goes from one roller to another, and then a company like Sohn or somebody comes in once a week and puts a brand new one on. But at U of M, it's all paper that way. Which I prefer.
That's fine. Yeah. Oh, here's the thing. I don't use any hand dryers at all. If you look at the studies, if you put your hands under a hand dryer, you might just walk out without washing them at all because there's a lot of germs in those hand dryers. I use my pants all the time. I'll wash my hands,
shake them off,
and then use my
rub
pants
them together.
Back and forth. Yeah, I do not like using anything. And like you, still, Chuck, yesterday my granddaughter and I were walking into the gym. And as we're walking up, she grabs her sleeve, pulls it down past her hand, and opens the door. I was so happy. Good girl. I don't touch anything I don't have to touch.
You made her open the door.
Well, she got there before me. She was in a hurry to go swimming. She ran ahead of me. So. No.
And then also the putting paper down on toilet seats. We'll have to talk about that later on if I get a chance.
If it's a public toilet, yeah, it's happening. 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. Phone lines are open. Let's talk to Eric in Sand Creek. Good morning, Eric. You're on with the guys.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. This past fall, I tore off an old deck off my house, and I had a company come in and pour a cement patio to replace it. These guys did not put flashing up against the house before they poured the concrete. I'm not a builder, but I think that's probably an issue. What do you guys think?
Well, it's just a patio? Is that what you're saying? In the backyard?
Cement flat. Yeah, in the backyard behind the house, yep. And they poured the concrete right up to the wood of the house without any flashing to protect the wood. Do you think that's
sure should have been.
Well, flashing, we wouldn't use flashing. I've been in concrete my whole life. I wouldn't use flashing. I would use an expansion paper or something like that.
I'd use flashing if it was up against wood.
Yeah, never did that. Eric, can you hold on a minute? We'll talk about this as we get back from break.
Sure.
Okay, and we'll also be taking your phone calls, 888-654-4897. Well, the heating season may be closer to over, but that means the cooling season is going to be coming up. And if you're looking to get a tune-up, a furnace tune-up, Sharon's Heating, Cooling, and Electrical can help you out with that. If you need any work on your furnace, we want you to contact Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning. Guys equals 888-654-4897. Taking any and all of your housing questions during the week, the InsideOutsideGuys.com. Send us an email with any question you may have. Right now on the line, we have Eric from Sand Lake, who had a patio poured, and he's asking about flashing. Should they have put a flashing where the patio, new concrete patio, met the house? Are you still with us, Eric?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, definitely should have been, Chuck and I were talking about this over the break. I mean, there definitely should have been some kind of isolation joint in there because of what normal is a piece of expansion paper. And Chuck made the point, yeah, but if you put a piece of expansion paper, what that does is it gives you about a half inch worth of room between the wood and the concrete where water can possibly get under, right, or get into, right? So they put nothing. They put it right up against the wood in your case.
Yeah.
It's really not a ton you can do about it at this point. I would take some polyurethane caulk and caulk against that wood and stop any water from getting down there. I guess my two questions I have is, do you have a good overhang? Do you have good gutters over it? Do you have a good pitch on that concrete? Because all those things will help.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You said the concrete, the patio, is right up against wood. Do you have a wood foundation, or is that up against the wood floor frame of the house?
The wood floor frame of the house where my deck used to be, my wood deck used to be. We took the wood deck out. It was about 20 years old and seen better days.
Right.
And what I'm afraid of is maybe the concrete absorbs moisture and transfers that to the wood.
Absolutely.
Not so much rain. No? Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm... Because my wood, I think, will act like a sponge and take that moisture right out of that concrete, I think.
Yes, it will.
Well, it will, but that's why I asked the questions. If you have a good overhang, I mean, you're not going to tear that patio apart now, but if you have a good overhang, you have good gutters, you have less chance of it getting against that wood. So if you caulk it and then when the weather's nicer, seal that wood, you're not going to... It's a lot less chances of it affecting the wood on the house over time. Agree, Chuck?
Yeah, I got overhang. And the pitch of the concrete is actually pretty drastic. It's a 3-inch drop over 22 feet.
That is drastic. Do you notice it when you sit down? Are you on an angle like the bad guys in the Batman shows where the lair was always at an angle?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's noticeable, but it's not terrible.
Good.
That was one of the concerns that they had. But I'm just more concerned about the concrete absorbing it and then transferring it. Not so much rain and snow and ice getting to it. I'm just worried about if concrete actually collects moisture and then can transfer it to the wood. That's what I'm concerned about.
Something you might be able to do, because concrete typically won't bond to wood like it would to cement or other concrete, you might be able to take some aluminum or any kind of thin metal flashing material and literally tap it down between the joint of the wood and the patio, the concrete edge. And that would serve to isolate moisture conduction into the wood from the concrete.
Okay. All right.
Can you picture that?
I'm debating on, well, right now, what we did temporarily was bend some flashing in like an L-shaped and put it behind the siding and set it on top of the concrete. It sticks out about an inch or so past the siding, just to keep some of that away. Like I said, I'm more concerned about if the concrete just naturally takes in moisture from the air or whatever, will it transfer that moisture to the wood like a sponge?
Yes, it will. That's why you'd want something to isolate the concrete from the wood, like we just suggested.
And then take every opportunity to not let that happen and put a good sealer over it regularly. Now, when you use a sealer, it's very important that you get a breathable water-based sealer. Those are not going to be really slippery. And with that 3-inch pitch, you don't want it real slippery back there.
Gotcha. Okay, guys, I appreciate your help.
No problem.
We appreciate the call. Thank you.
Good call. You know, it's funny, Chuck, because we're talking on break. In the old days, we used to use shingles. The old 3-tab shingle we had taken, we'd put that between the two, and that would isolate the joint. I actually like that better because it's less distance between the two materials.
I agree.
So, you know, the sealer, we wind up telling a lot of people over time a sealer is necessary. You may have an old chimney that soaks water up like crazy and you see it on the inside of the house. A sealer, you have something like this where the deck may get moisture, you seal it. Unfortunately, when you seal it, that's an ongoing maintenance issue. But if you use a breathable water-based sealer, you're not going to have to strip anything off every time you do it. If you use a petroleum-based sealer, you're going to have to strip it off. You won't have to do that with the water-based sealer.
Yeah, water-based, breathable.
Yeah,
exactly. It'll breathe that moisture that the ground is bringing up from below will breathe out from below, whereas it'll keep stuff from the top from going in, which he wants. But the biggest thing, like he said, concrete will draw water out of any earth it's in contact with, and it'll transmit it to drier areas, and the wood of the house is drier for sure. It should be. It better be. If it's not, he's going to have a rot problem where he'll have to replace that wood, and we've seen that, where people don't flash and counterfeit flash properly, and they let moisture in. I'm curious why the ground is that high around the back of his house. It shouldn't be.
No, it should be that. Well, how much have we seen these houses get built too low?
Yeah.
And understand, when someone put the deck in, they have to consider how many steps it is going up to the deck or down from the deck. We got, no matter what, concrete is famous for this, because you may want to keep the concrete all one level, but if you go from the side door around to the front door, those are two different levels. So somewhere in there, you have to put a step. So that's what I loved about Decks Unlimited, talking about those lights they actually put in the risers, because those really do help at dark.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Watching what you're doing.
Yeah.
Especially when you come home, late, maybe time went on too much. You want to make sure you can walk up those steps, right? 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. We have at least the next 10 days of beautiful weather. If you look at the long-term forecast, we have some beautiful weather coming up. But in spring, we always, always, always get a lot of emails about water in the basement. You know, if it's not raining a lot of times the water will be melting out of the earth and people will notice issues in their basement. They'll notice their... What about you? Have you noticed your sump pump going on any more recently?
I haven't, and I hear it, as you know. you know, you and I don't know if it's just dads or homeowners are tuned into that. But no, ours is pretty consistent throughout the year regardless. If we get a heavy 3-day rain, then I'm going to notice
it. Then you're going to notice it, yeah. But I got to think there's not a ton of frost in the ground right now.
You know, it's interesting because there was a couple of small pine trees I should have transplanted late fall, and I did not. And I was actually wondering yesterday if there was enough frost to keep me from getting those moved.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd still like to do it before spring. I also wanted to comment on the slope, the 3 inches and 22 feet. That's hardly anything at all. That's like 1/88th. And the cross slope that's allowed for wheelchairs on concrete is 1/60th, right. which would be far more than that.
Right.
So 3 inches sounds like a lot until you say it's 22 feet. And if you actually do the math on that, it's sufficient. I wouldn't worry about it.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, but if it was a 12-inch drip drop or something like that, you would see that a lot more.
Yeah, I would have done that. I mean, 22 feet.
That's a nice-sized patio.
That's not a lot of fall. That's a good-sized patio. You're right.
And if it's a concrete patio, you know, here's what we also recommend. You know, seal those joints. It's a good chance at 22 feet that you're going to get a crack. You will. You'll get a crack in those joints.
Got to believe so, yeah.
If you have steel in that concrete and it's placed properly, you have nothing to worry about.
It'll hold it.
But what will happen is when the water hits that concrete, if those joints in the middle open up, it'll wash down. That joint will capture all that water and wash any base out from underneath it. This goes for your patio, your walkways, your driveways, you name it. So it's so important that you seal those joints with a good polyurethane. If you need someone to do it, you can find it at the InsideOutsideGuys.com. But that is concrete maintenance that people need to check out and maybe not do every year, but at least take a look at every year, and it will save you money in the long run.
It'll spin and preserve the integrity of the patio.
Right.
But I do have to reiterate that the fact that that's up high, that high on the wood frame, floor frame of the house is not a good thing.
No, absolutely.
That
goes, once again, whether you're doing a concrete driveway. You want a concrete driveway. A lot of times the driveways will pull into a two-car garage, and then you'll have maybe 8 inches on each side of it. You have to have a joint there, because what will happen when the frost hits the ground? If you pour concrete against concrete, it's going to lock into each other. There's nowhere for it to move. And as the frost hits the ground, it'll lift that ground in the middle of it and crack the concrete. So important that you put those isolation joints in.
Yeah, and that you provide good drainage. You know, I'm just a tremendous believer in good drainage. Keep water out from under the soil of the concrete. And keep it off the top of the concrete. Anytime it rains, that concrete should shed the water or melting snow this time of year.
And for people out there that want a concrete patio or driveway put in, but their grade does not allow them to put them in, we would put something that's called a channel drain. So if you have a negative drain or even an even drain where the water's heading back to the house when it rains, you put what's called a channel drain in there, and what that'll do is channel the water to an area you want it to go to. So I don't care what anyone else says. Something people do a lot is they do an asphalt driveway, Chuck. And when they need a new driveway, they just go on top of that one. And they need another new driveway, and they just go on top of that one. So after three layers, your concrete driveway is now 3 inches above your garage.
That shouldn't happen.
Shouldn't happen.
No, should not happen. And keep in mind, people, we used to have an axiom in building that the cheapest thing to do on a construction site was move dirt. And if you know, like Ken makes a great point about negative grade, you know, where houses were built too low to begin with. If you modify that grade 40, 50 feet out away from the house and then build a swale or a subgrade drain, what we call the French drains, into the ground out there, you can modify, you know, the grade by moving that dirt a lot cheaper than you can put all kinds of fancy stuff in or replace stuff or have it fail on you after 3 years.
You're absolutely right. Hey, 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. You've heard Performance Remodeling all over the WJR airways over the years. They're a great company, great ownership, great management. who gives great warranties. They use a CertainTeed product on your roof, and they've got beautiful siding, windows, and more. You want three estimates? Performance Remodeling can give you three estimates. Welcome back to the Inside Outside, guys. With over 80 years of combined housing experience, the Inside Outside guys should be your one-stop shop for any and all of your housing questions. Whether you're building a brand new house, you need something new for your house, or you just need some advice, 24/7, go to theinsideoutsideguys.com. Take a look. Great site. I mean, it's getting... Every time we do just check out how we're doing, we grow 10%. Seems like every 6 months we're growing 10% in every one of our four platforms.
Hey, I want to remind everybody to call Dex Unlimited if you're thinking about any kind of a deck project, any kind of a deck project this upcoming season. Because he said if you called today before the end of the show, you'd get free riser lights in your project. And if you haven't seen riser lights, go to their website, right? I mean, they are cool. OurDeckBuilder.com.
Lighting has just become so much more of a snotty upgrade for anything.
I agree. But you made the comment, too, that the riser lights are a safety issue. And yes. I agree with you 1,000%.
Yeah. They're an upgrade. They're... safety, and they're beautiful. 888-654 guys. Let's go to Steve and Adrian. Good morning, Steve. You're on with the guys.
Hey, good morning. Thanks. I have an older house that has hot water heat with the old style of cast iron upright radiators in it. And yes, I was curious how often that system, if ever, should be flushed, drained and flushed out.
Is it working well?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it works fine. The boiler is only about 6 years old. We had it put in when we bought the place. But I've seen everything and heard everything from you should do it annually, to don't ever touch it, to, you know, hear all types of stuff. I'm concerned.
We get that question about water heaters a lot.
Are you on city water?
Yeah.
That's a closed-loop system. So...
yeah.
Even though you're adding a little bit of water to it periodically, or it adds it to itself, I should say, my biggest belief, and Ken, feel free to disagree with me, is to have a professional just kind of come in and do a maintenance on it once a year. But if it's working well, it tells you that the pipes are open and flowing.
Just like a furnace, yearly maintenance. Yep. So I guess the answer is we'd leave it alone.
Okay, great. Can I ask you one more question?
Absolutely.
Quick.
Sure.
Sure. I've got an older house that's actually a rental. It's a Victorian that, unfortunately, to my opinion, has steam heat in it. Now, that's a different deal. It's on city water also. I've been told by a couple plumbers that should be flushed out once a year, possibly. Does that sound right? Or
I mean, it can't hurt it. I mean... certainly, but when you say flushed, that implies that you're not just draining it and refilling it again. You're actually, you know, pushing with pressure and or chemicals to clean it. So there's a difference between flushing and refilling that system. And again, keep in mind, especially with the old steam units, you've got valves in there, and if you force debris to be released from the inside of slightly corroded older pipes, you can actually create trouble where you didn't have it before. We see that, you know, with people with their faucets in their sinks and showers even.
Sure. Yeah, I wasn't so much concerned with the entire piping system as we've been told you can get a problem with getting sludge and debris down in the boiler itself from the
exactly.
And that's why we had to replace it last time. We got down in there and got called a dry start and cracked up the heat exchanger on it. So
I'll tell you, probably the smartest thing people can do if they've got a water heating system, baseboard, or steam heating system, is to have like a Beauchamp water purification system, even if it's just dedicated to that, you know, the water that comes into your boiler. Because the biggest damage to those pipes and the boilers themselves is going to be minerals that are in suspension in the system.
And do you know of anybody in the Jackson area that specializes in steam heat systems?
Send us an email.
Yeah, the guy that runs the home builders out there, send us an email. Lauren used to own a heating company in Jackson, and he knows everybody. If you send us an email, we'll get him his contact information to you.
Okay, yeah, I've talked to a lot of people. I get everything from we won't touch it to just click on the telephone. Nobody wants to mess with them anymore. But, okay, I'll email it in. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Stay safe.
Okay, I don't think we have time left to take our next call. I guess we can try real quick. Mike, you there from Temperance?
Right here.
Real quick, buddy. What's going on?
Okay, I have a house that is in Detroit. It was my uncle's house. He passed away. The roof was leaking bad, and the carpeting got completely soaked, which has got a beautiful hardwood floor underneath it. It's got some pretty good staining in it and also a bit of shrinkage in between the gaps. So I'm wondering, A, can I sand the staining out? And B, is there a gap filler that you put in that's not going to look terrible? I like to keep the floor as original as possible.
Yeah,
looking
I
as
bet
far
you
as
would.
It,
so. Probably have to power sand it. And we like the sawdust from that sanding mixed with a lacquer or varnish as a filler. If you're going to have a clear finish that shows the grain of the wood in the wood.
And let me tell people, it is a sin to put carpeting over top of a beautiful hardwood floor.
See, what I'm trying to avoid, too, is not replacing all the carpeting in the house, because what I did was cut where the carpeting was destroyed from the water and left it in the rest of the house, which, I mean, it's very nice carpeting. But,
yeah. Well, unfortunately, we got to go, Mike. There's no easy answers. Chuck's advice is the best advice. We appreciate your call. For everyone else out there, during the week, theinsideoutsideguys.com, the Inside Outside Guys on Facebook, because from the roof to the basement, the street to the back fence, if you need it, the Inside Outside Guys are here for you today and every day.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Eric, the listener. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.